From a hotel lounge on Mason Street in San Francisco, California, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk gaming and game development.
I'm Ellen Burns-Johnson, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Martha Proy. I, too, make nice games. You heard right. This week, we're out west at the 2022 Game Developers Conference. We're here to recap our time before we forget the mountain of stuff we saw, heard, and did. And so, everyone's ready. Let's start. So the first thing listeners may know is that the show sounds a little bit different this week, because we are recording on a telephone in a hallway at our hotel.
Yes.
Because we wanted to get our thoughts out before we went back home. It was a big deal conference this year.
Yeah.
Because it happened.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
The second thing listeners will notice is Dale is here in the room with us.
That's right.
Hello.
Dale came with us and really worked overtime to hype the show,
very much,
which was quite nice. We saw an actual measurable bump in listenership.
Yeah.
So hello, new listeners. You may have met me. Probably did. She gave you a flyer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
What,
I guess being, just being up, just being at a conference.
Being in person, yeah.
Yeah, in person.
So many different people.
It was, I've been to a lot of conferences before, but not in the gaming industry, and this was the biggest conference I've ever been to. My feet are tired, and the rest of me is tired. But it was a lot of fun.
Interesting, all four of us have a very different history with this show.
Right.
So I started going in 2016, and I've gone every year, you know, that it happened here in San Francisco. Steven, this is your second time.
It is, yes.
After not just the two-year break, the 3 years since the last one, but for longer still.
Longer still, yeah.
Ellen, this is your first time at the show.
Yeah, freshman.
And Dale, you've come with me a couple of times.
Yep.
And had various interactions with it.
Yeah, so maybe you met me several years ago, and I gave you a flyer.
It's funny, Ellen, you say it's the biggest conference you've ever been to, because the thing I notice most is how it was crowded, and it's more people that I've seen in 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
But it was far fewer than I remember. And I don't know how faulty my memory it is, but it really seems like there was half as many people. And there was still a ton of people.
I felt that way, too. I mean, even walking like on the expo hall and other stuff, you could tell that it was just less crowded than it was in the past.
There were some big unoccupied spaces. I mean, wow, the Expo 4 was huge. I mean, we'll come back to that and talk about it again, but I'm not going to say anything different that time. It was really big. Intimidating big, like freakishly big. Megalophobia was triggered.
Yeah, and it's wild, too, because it was significantly smaller than past years.
In terms of like the square footage or the number of people?
Oh, I mean, in terms of square footage.
Both, in fact. You can see that they didn't use the entire hall.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was probably about 40% of the hall left they could have. GDC always said their Expo 4 always has two sections. Big sponsor booths and then smaller section things, and both of those sections were just pared down for the amount of attendees. And there was, you never had to worry about being shoulder to shoulder with anybody. It was very comfortable for what is a conference in COVID times, which was, I think, something we all had to navigate this year.
Right.
And it was, I mean, I was nervous coming, and when we planned, it was a weird experience. I don't know. Yeah. My thoughts aren't fully together on it, but I was nervous a lot.
It was kind of the length of the conference that made me more nervous about it. Because, like, we had done 2DCon. And, I mean, like, it's not nearly as big as GDC, but it was, I guess, a smaller space. So, like, we were kind of more in contact with people more regularly.
Yeah.
But that was only 3 days and, like, sort of half days-ish. But, like, GDC was longer. It's a whole week.
And you're always moving around. You're crossing paths with
so many people.
Yeah.
Many people.
I mean, the nice thing about GDC is that we knew that everybody was fully vaccinated.
And they were required to wear masks.
Yes. Yeah. And like they checked to make sure that people were vaccinated. Just we had blue bands on our wrists.
Yeah.
That they
were,
so in addition to the badges, they would give you a band to confirm vaccination status.
Right.
Although it was a little bit redundant because in order to get a badge, you had to, But
I mean, I appreciated it. It helped me feel a little more comfortable.
You know, some of it's still a little theater, and like, it wasn't like the airtightest security, but I think they did a pretty good job.
And
compliance was really high.
Yes.
There were some people who would, there's an exception where you can eat food, and
some
people just took advantage of that to keep their mask off sometimes.
Yeah.
I had walked out of one roundtable session because of that.
Mm.
Because if everyone's talking, then risk increases.
Right.
So I didn't want. Anyway, but for the most part, it seems like in other near crowds and crowds of people I've been in the past year, it seemed like this big crowd did take it seriously.
Yeah.
And that was heartening.
Yeah, I definitely was not let in to the GDC gift shop.
Yeah, so Dale, you didn't have a pass.
I didn't have a pass.
Right, yeah, so you didn't have the badge and you didn't have the blue wristband.
Yep.
And we tried to go in together so we could do some shopping at the gift shop. And they busted us right away.
Yeah.
Right away.
Right, so then I had to do some recon for you.
Yeah, sent me some pictures of some stuff I might want.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, in past years, the gift shop is one area you could get to, because of course they want your money. But in order to get in the building, you needed to
have everything at the Moscone Center for the week of GDC required you to have a badge and a wristband, and they would check. So, like, sometimes my wristband would be, like, accidentally covered by my jacket or my sweater shirt or whatever I was wearing. And they would, like, you know, the staff would look at me and they'd be like, point of their wrist, like, where's this thing?
Yeah.
I can see your badge. Where's this thing? So
I saw somebody, someone behind me was walking the building and said, oh, I forgot I took it off. There was this, got to go around. You got to go back and do the verification thing again in order to get back in the thing. And she was very upset.
They did have, so you could, I think you could get around the vaccination requirement if you had proof of a negative COVID test within 72 hours.
If you were not American.
If you were not American.
Right. And that was basically a understanding that ease of vaccination isn't as high in other parts of the world.
Sure, yeah.
And different countries have different methods of verifying vaccination. Right. Some places say you're quote-unquote fully vaccinated if you've had any shots.
Oh.
These are all indefined terms these days, but in America, the standard is you're fully vaccinated if you've had the two-dose series or the one, if it's Johnson & Johnson, and a booster.
And a booster.
That means you're fully vaccinated. And that was the standard by which all Americans were held to. But Americans make up like something like 50% or maybe a little bit less of attendees.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you could have, you know, a test to get that wristband as well. Yeah. It was a little more stringent than other similar test verifications, but not quite as high as the vaccination requirement,
which is appreciated. I mean, for me, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's existential for a big event like this. They have to earn the trust of attendees, and the fact that attendance was way down this year, so it seemed, and I think it makes a lot of logistical sense as well as moral sense for them to have taken it seriously.
On another note.
Yeah,
we were turning to GDC this year. The weather was way nicer.
it was quite nice.
It was a lot warmer. The first time I went, it was like raining the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was gray. It was cold. Surprisingly cold. You know, we're from Minnesota. We're used to cold.
Yeah.
But like we're prepared for that kind of cold. San Francisco has a different kind of cold where it's all breezy.
Yeah. And
the wind is just foggy.
I planned for a week of rain.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking forward to it a little bit. But it was just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So lots more sitting in the park than in some previous years.
Yeah.
It was quite nice. Which, of course, is, and the thing about Moscone Center is three separate buildings, and there are gathering spaces in between the buildings and the nearby park, the Yerba Buenas Garden, which is sort of famous among attendees because it's this really gorgeous public space with lots of seating. And dogs. And we'll get to that. But what I think about that was really nice with this conference is there were so many opportunities to go outside.
Yes.
And so you did get to take your mask off sometimes. Like at a crowded street corner, all waiting for a light, I would put my mask back on because you're still really close with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of open air space to spend your day.
Yeah.
Not just in the buildings of the conference. And so you just happened to be outside a lot,
mm-hmm.
Even if you were going to talks every hour. So that was quite nice.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. It made it bearable because it can be difficult to have a mask on like for 8 hours a day.
Right.
Like, you know, if you're not active and you're just sitting, you know, and the room's getting a little hotter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, I was glad that the weather was nicer this year, for sure. Nice and warm, because otherwise it wouldn't. I don't know. I was prepared for like it to be terrible. I think we were thinking that the reason why it was a little bit better was because it was later in the year, maybe a little bit later in the year.
Someone told me that wasn't true, so maybe I should double check that. But my memory is it usually takes place earlier in March.
Yeah, that's what I remember too. Earlier.
Yeah.
So I hung out in the gardens all week. What did you guys do?
I handed out flyers.
Awesome. And then I went home and took naps in the hotel room.
Well, because this was your vacation.
This was my vacation.
Yeah. And this was like our pseudo vacation. We were working, but also like relaxing a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't feel relaxed at all.
Well, that's because you were not on vacation.
I cut back on my workload this week for the money stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the nature of the work that I do, I'm in game-based learning, right? Game-based learning they don't come to GDC. They have their own conference. So, I mean, there were some people who I spoke to who, like, had done similar work or were involved in that space, but, like, there's some overlap, but it's not, like, a conference overlap. There wasn't, like, a game-based learning education track, but it's a little different. I didn't expect to see some of the stuff that I'd be doing, or at least a lot of the people that I know from the game-based learning space or the serious game space in GDC, I didn't expect them to be here because it's just, it's just different.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The funding's often different and it's a different space.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of people could learn from both, you know, from both conferences, I'm sure. Like, and there's going to be a lot of overlap in terms of like the topics you'll see in talks, but you know.
So did you end up going to any talks?
No, I didn't. I didn't go to any talks. I did lots of meetings with devs and publishers and talked about the things that they're working on and did some really cool demos and had some great conversations, which I recorded many of them. So we'll be releasing some of those recordings in an upcoming episode.
And that's the detail that maybe we haven't said yet, which is that we went on press passes.
Right.
So oh my gosh. Yeah,
we were able to get those meetings and book them. And so Ellen was able to go to no talks and still have a really full GDC.
I had a very, Friday especially, it was like, okay, a 30-minute meeting here, and then I got to walk to a different place, and a 30-minute meeting there, and I got to walk to another place. And I don't think I even had lunch until 3 p.m. on Friday, because I had my first meeting at 8:30, and I just had stuff all day until 3 p.m. I was very hungry. But it was a lot of fun. The whole thing, I mean, like, it was, so it's my first GDC. I think I mentioned it was overwhelmingly big. I don't even, it's like I got to the expo floor.
All of those, if you say so.
Expo floor, it opened on Wednesday, right?
Yes, it did.
And I don't think I really got to it until Thursday morning. And I got down there, I'm like, wow, this is so big, the ceiling is so tall, and the floor is so wide. And I wander around for a bit, I'm like, look at all these people making games from all these different spots. And that wasn't even the main, like, I started on the side of the conference floor, the expo floor, where the IGF pavilion was. And
you didn't see the big stuff until later.
I mean, like, it wasn't sparse. It's like, wow, this is a really busy conference floor.
Right, right.
And I'm looking at all these booths, and I'm like, wow, so many game devs coming from so many different places. This is so cool. And I started walking around a little again, and then I got to the other side where all the really big stuff was, like Unity had their, it's not even, you can't even call it a booth. It was like
It was half of the show floor.
It was a city block in conference terms.
Basically. It was like the Unity courtyard. It was monstrous. And then everything else was like comparable in scale. Not as big as Unity's big thing, but still really, really big. Like Adobe was over there. I don't even think I got to that side. There was so much I didn't see at all. There's no way to see it all. I think there was somebody who said, I was talking to them that day, and they were saying something like, if you aren't exhausted at, you know, GDC, then you're not getting everything out of it. I'm like, I'm not getting everything out of it, and I'm still exhausted. So I must be older than you.
Steven, you went to a couple of talks.
I went to a few, yes. I went to August's talk. We had him on the show. Does this episode come out by now? We don't know yet.
August Brown.
August Brown.
Producer at Armor Games.
Yes.
I think actually that one will come out after this one does.
Oh, okay.
But we had him on the show previous, and we've talked him up before. He's from where we're from. And gave a talk on...
He gave a talk on basically how to market your game to producers or publishers so that, like, you know, they will actually look at your game and give it a shot. And really, like, a lot of his talk was about, like, it was like thinky brain versus not happy brain, but
like feeling brain.
Feely brain. Yeah, it was thinky brain versus feely brain.
Affective versus cognitive.
I
retweeted an excellent slide of his.
Yes, it was a really good slide. He was very proud of it himself. But it was
out the Twitter.
But it was a cool talk because I like the way that it put things into perspective. In that, like, you really want to try to make the game attractive to the feely part of your brain, the part that gets really excited about games in general.
Yeah.
So that, like, you can potentially get, you know, the publisher. Maybe find a champion in that publishing house to advocate for your game.
It's the feely brain that makes the decisions.
Yeah.
It's the thinky brain that second guesses them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't even see the talk, and you already know what it was. Oh, you read the slide.
No, I didn't read the slide. I mean, I did read the slide, yeah. But that's not what that slide said. That's just something I know from listening to other podcasts around brain stuff.
Ah, okay. Yep. Well, then it all checks out, the science backed up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So that was a cool talk. I went to a 4-day work week talk. I know. I went to a 4-day work week talk because I'm really excited about 4-day work week. Yeah.
Well, listeners don't know, but that's what we talked to August about.
Actually. That is. Yeah, right, of course.
Because Armor Games did that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so I would like to do that for Future Club at some point. I did actually bring that up to CEO of the Future Club. So I don't know that any progress has been made in that yet, but we're working through it, I guess. That was cool to see. It actually made me feel, after listening to August talk about 4-day work weeks, it felt like maybe 4-day work weeks weren't a great fit for Future Club, but after I saw this talk, I felt a little more confident in 4-day work weeks for our company. So that was kind of interesting. And then I went to part of a narrative detective talk, but I didn't finish it. I went through that with Mark.
Oh, yeah. Because you had a thing.
I had a, I'll talk about that. Actually, I went to see, I saw my coworkers.
Yeah.
I saw some of the people I work with at Future Club, which was really cool. They're awesome folk.
They are really cool people.
I kept swooning about them the whole conference.
I mean, that's we're walking the show floor, and you're like, "I'm going to meet with them again." It's like, so the first date went well.
Yeah, it did. They might be listening because they didn't. I don't think they knew that I was doing a podcast. Even though I told them I got a free tickets to go to GDC for my podcast. Well,
you guys been having a lot on your minds.
You're saying a lot of the interaction you have with them is just work meetings, and because you have so many specific meetings about specific things, they can't really spin around into social topics.
Yeah,
and just being pals.
Yeah, and it's all remote too. So like, we're not just, you know, if we were in an office, you'd just randomly conversate about random things because you're just in the space together.
Yeah,
and we're not. We're all, you know, remote in plenty of different locations. So it was nice to just be able to sit and chat with them for a little while. I was actually a bit nervous before doing it because we haven't had those kind of conversations before. So I was like, oh no, is our charisma gonna be okay? But as Mark said, the first date went well. I saw them on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And actually, a couple of them were there to keep to pitch our future game to publishers. So that was like the bulk of their focus. I think they only went to one talk, which was about networking. One talk that they went to,
like Friday afternoon. I remember them going. We were standing in line for ice cream, and then they ducked out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they didn't really get to like hang out a lot around the conference. Like I think we hung out around the expo for a little bit, but like we didn't. Their purpose for being in the expo for was to see if they could talk to other people to see if our games could be published.
Yeah.
So that was their focus. And then one of my other coworker was actually on vacation to see her parents. So she just hung out with us on Wednesday. But it was nice to see her too.
It was just nice to see everybody.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
It was cool to meet your coworker.
Aw.
Yeah. They're really nice folks.
One day I'd like to have them on the show if you're listening.
I think we already asked them.
Yeah.
Dale probably gave them a flyer.
Oh, I mean, I gave them flyers.
And then Dale probably also gave them flyers.
I mean, probably.
Yeah. So they know we're here.
Yeah.
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 So compared to previous years, I always saw fewer talks.
Mm-hmm.
But actually probably the same amount I did in 2019. So when I started going to GDC, I went to every talk, right? Yeah. And in past GDC episodes is a big section of me recounting all the talks. And then I'm going to do a little bit of that.
That's cool.
But one of the things that in 2019, I was there to sell widgets to the publishers.
Right.
So I had lots of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I still went to a couple of talks. This time, I was just much more comfortable going to maybe two talks a day. Three, I think I did one or two days.
Sure.
I didn't go to like a ton. It's still a lot compared to some other folks, but I didn't fill every hour the way I had done starting it.
Yeah.
Part of that was just like, you know, building lots of people nervousness, but some of it too is just like, you know, I actually will go and watch these on the GDC vault later.
Yeah.
I kept better track of the ones I was interested in so that I've got a good list and I'll be more motivated. In previous years, I had this huge, huge list And then I would go to as many as, and then I would just never go back to the ones I missed.
Ah, yeah.
But now I just feel really much more comfortable doing it that way. And so I had a much more relaxed GDC. But I did see a bunch of really cool talks.
Yeah.
And I'll just talk about a couple of them. So mm-hmm. I'm building this open source game engine for Playdate.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole open source track at GDC. And I went to one about building libraries and maintaining them. And that's something that I'm doing for the first time with this project.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly the thing I got out of it was that I'm kind of doing it all right.
Oh, so that's good. It's a good bit of validation. That's what you want to be in a talk. I love that. That's great.
I didn't think that's where that sentence was going. Because right and wrong, your mouth moves the same way. So I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of going there prepared to take a ton of notes and really walk out with actionable things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's disappointing when you don't have that.
Right. Mm.
Because then you're like, well, I enjoyed it, but did it with the best use of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But in here, it was just like, oh yeah, I've been doing that.
Yeah.
And I got that advice somewhere else, and that's why I'm doing it. And the idea of the thing is starting a project is much easier than maintaining a project, even though maintaining it takes less work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I really felt that. And so it's good to know that that's a truism. So I just came out with some validation, which was really valuable.
Cool.
Which I really liked.
That's good.
There were a couple of talks, and we were hanging out in the park. We were asking them, what was everybody's favorite thing?
Yeah.
And my answer to that was that there's just types of talks that had really very specific actionable advice, right? Actionable things you can work with. And the three of them that I really liked were, there's this talk on narrative choices and how to make player decisions feel like they matter.
Yeah.
And that is a topic that is sort of the topic in interactive fiction.
Right.
And role-playing games and a lot of game design. And it's very difficult because you always have to funnel people to the ending. And you really, in the end, if you really break it down, the player's choices do not matter. Mm. And so it's very tricky. And
what does that mean about my life?
Well, if you're an artist trying to tell a story, the player cannot hijack that.
Right.
That is not, there's a push and pull there.
Yep.
And so what was interesting is talking about the way narratives are designed as kind of a tree. Decision trees, and then eventually the branches have to reconnect at the top.
Yeah.
And that is not how trees work. And so the metaphor itself is kind of broken. And so this was talking about things falling down I'm describing it this way, but the game of Plinko.
Yeah.
Where it will always reach the bottom.
Yeah.
And the end of the story isn't a node that's coalesced at the top. It's just the bottom. It's when you reach the bottom.
Yeah.
And so that metaphor is really useful because it means that there's no dead ends. It's always, the story is always going to keep falling to the bottom. And if you think of it that way, and it does, it doesn't seem like it's actionable advice, but it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really fascinating because it makes it seem like, you can actually. Well, this was the one you were with me at, Stephen, I think.
The detective one?
Yeah, because that's how that game works.
I missed that half, I guess.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the big close of it.
Oh, dang.
how do you make something where a player can essentially do anything, make any choices, go anywhere?
Right, yeah.
How do you make that actually, feel like a story with a real conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the way that was structured, and it made a lot. This is a game Overboard by Inkle.
Yep.
And anyway, I was moved by that. The other one that was a narrative is about heuristics. When you are dealing in visual with visual novels, when you talk to other characters,
right.
A lot of times, and especially in romance style games, you talk to people and their heart score goes up.
Yeah,
and really, it's about getting points until you can get that smooch.
Uh-huh.
And I've always thought that that's a problematic element of visual novels because it gamifies things in a really bad way. At an Indiecade years ago, I saw a game about consent. That the only way you could win was to reach consent, and it presented itself as this. So that's the kind of this is the world of these kinds of games.
Yeah.
They really want to do these things right. They do not have the tools to do anything other than the wrong way.
Haven't figured it out.
Yeah, and it was really frustrating. And mm-hmm. so this talk was about tracking multi-dimensional heuristics, and this thing that I hadn't really considered when you're building systems for a game, which is to over-design at the start.
Mm-hmm.
So in a visual novel, content is relatively easy to generate compared to, say, an open world game.
Mm-hmm.
And so the rules you, the workflow you do as a game designer or a game developer is, I'm only going to make the systems we're going to use. I'm not going to spend 3 months making a system we're not going to use. I'm only going to keep track of the variables that we're going to use because it's a waste of everybody's time and it becomes overhead and confusing. And someone will use that, but nobody else is. And so it's like a weird little vestigial element of the game. And it's inefficient. But for a system of multi-dimensional character relationship heuristics, it's the idea is just to track everything, whether you think you're going to use it or not. Because
mm-hmm.
then the content can then make use of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff it doesn't make use of, fine. because it actually isn't, because content generation is relatively easy.
Right.
Comparatively. So that was a really interesting kind of like, oh, there is some truisms that don't apply in this context. And I thought that was really, really interesting. This idea of like every choice the player makes, everything that happens in the game, have a Boolean for every single action.
Yeah.
Even if you only use 10% of them. Mm-hmm. Because it allows things like when you're writing a story, you have narrative callbacks. You set something up in the beginning, you pay it off in the end. But you don't always write it in that order.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes you do, but then you go and you beef up the reference in the beginning. Or you weave it together after the fact.
Yeah, you drop in some things along the way.
And you can do that in visual novels, but if you don't have the actually things to hook into, all you can do is do it in the text.
Right.
And the thing is the really interesting like thesis was that actually this was something from one of the indie soapboxes. Mm. The idea of narrative games is that the narrative is not the most important thing in a narrative game. Because it's a game.
Yeah.
If the narrative was the most important thing, it was 90% of the reason why you're there, make it a book.
Yeah, don't tell the DM that.
And that was really, that's a narrative designer saying that. It's like, I mean, I would be writing books if I didn't want to make a game.
Right.
And that's, of course, it's obvious, but I don't think that people really feel it that way. They are much more comfortable making it this narrative in this in this medium.
Yeah.
But because they limit themselves the tools they can use.
So yeah.
I was really excited about
it. Yeah.
And the last thing that was just this technical thing that really, really opened my eyes is a friend of the show, a friend of ours, and one-time guest, Osama Dorius. He hosted the Game Developers Choices Awards this year.
Yeah.
And he also did a micro talk in a session called Rules of the Game, which is just very specific hints or tips, tricks from game designers. And I went into this talk, I didn't know he was speaking at it, so it was kind of like, oh, Osama. Mm-hmm. But his thing was really interesting. It was take all the mechanics in your game, put them in a spreadsheet on the x-axis and the y-axis, and then the intersections on the sheet are how those two mechanics interact, and that's the idea. Like, it's really, really simple.
It took me a little bit to get it once, like, Mark brought this up to me, but then I understood, and I was like, oh!
And I thought back to Widget Satchel. We did that with Widget Satchel, but we didn't track it with a simple tool like that.
Right. That would have been really useful. Yeah, it would have been, we would have been organized, we would have been able to keep that, figure out like the right way to do puzzles and stuff.
It's amazing because then you have like, I have a door mechanism that has a switch and a lever and an axle and it opens the door. I put that on the thing and then I have it interact with the other little mechanics like a player's power or another machine or enemy action or whatever, however that works. And then I realize like, the interaction between those two, this is what happens when they interact.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like when they interact, it only uses some of the door mechanism, not all of it. Well, that means I can break the door mechanism into more mechanics. I can break it up on both axes. And now I can interact with some of those other parts with other things. Mm-hmm. And suddenly the universe of possibilities just expands.
Oh my gosh, it would be useful for programming that kind of stuff too. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, it's spreadsheets.
Also spreadsheets.
Oh, it's right up your alley, man.
Steven is melting into a puddle.
A little bit.
Yeah. Those are the best things. I went to the experimental gameplay workshop and saw some really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Indie Soapbox and saw a bunch of really cool little talks and stuff. But I think the thing that I really took away were those three like pieces of actionable information. I feel like I can, all three of those can apply to the work I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Speaking of Osama, did we talk about the gardens? I was going to call it Yerba Mate. And I know it's not it.
Yerba Buena
Gardens. We talked about it a little bit. But.
Yeah, so that was where people spent their time, mm-hmm. either during the day or between talks. And Osama organized some invited a bunch of friends and said, bring your friends to, we called an ice cream social because there's an ice cream shop at the place there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nice. That was where most of the socializing happened.
Yes.
Semi-planned, semi-impromptu gatherings in the park. And that's been true for many years. But I've never had such an in on those networks before. So it was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, it was cool.
Seeing a bunch of people I've only met online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really cool. And I mean, a bunch of people I've never met too, outside of that. It was really cool. And I was surprised while I was doing it how, like, satisfying it was to meet new people.
Yeah, so you had forgotten.
Because you haven't for a while.
Right, yeah. So that was, I mean, like, we had done gig. We've done gig a few times.
Yes.
But, like, that's, it feels different for me. I think I really enjoy in-person interactions, especially with new people. And so, like, being able to do that here at GDC was quite nice. Right. I mean, it was exhausting, too, because it was a lot of people. And by Friday, I was like, oh, no more socials. And then I did more socials. But, it was cool.
I mean, we did all come back to the hotel room on Friday night and watch Star Trek instead of going to any parties.
We were pretty partied out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there was stuff every evening.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing about it is, like, GDC parties, I have learned, are pointless. Like, all they are is a place to party. If you to party, mm-hmm. good. But it's not a great place to meet people. It's not a great place for networking. It certainly will not help you if you're trying to publish your game, pitch it to anybody, or sell it to anybody.
It's too loud.
It is not, yeah. So if you just want to have a good time, you can. This year, though, I wasn't going to a nightclub.
Yeah.
Like that's, but you know, those parties still happened, and some of them were outdoors, mm-hmm. And were nice. And one of them we did go to on Monday night, which was because GIG, the Game Industries Gathering, had a GIG IRL event at a little park space with a bunch of food trucks, called Spark SF Social, SF Social, mm-hmm. And so it was outdoors, and we got to meet a lot of people who we've met over the past 2 years, through this monthly Zoom call,
mm-hmm.
And so I met a ton of my friends for the first time. It was wild, and we met some new folks too, including our new pal from Germany, who we talked to for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Who's working on an amazing game.
Oh my gosh!
That I really hope they are able to find a publisher.
Me and Dale saw Kevin. Yeah, we
hi,
saw
Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. We saw Kevin after the fact, on Friday.
Yeah, so he'd done a couple of those pitches.
Yes, he'd done a bunch of pitches, and he had high hopes.
Oh, good.
So hopefully.
Dear listener, when you hear about this project, you will, it's amazing. It's really cool.
It's very cool.
Very excited about it.
But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, and lots of food trucks. So many food trucks.
Yeah, but the mini donut place was closed.
Yeah.
Steven was, he was like, is there another place I can get mini donuts?
I did look around. Was unsuccessful, unfortunately.
Yeah. So that was Monday night.
Yeah.
And so Tuesday night, Stephen, you and I, and Dale joined us later, went to a playtest night.
Yes.
Which happens every year.
Right. And Mark, you've gone to them very frequently.
Yep. I brought Witch's Hatchel there. I brought Metro Nexus there. Yeah. And it's very much a playtest event in the style of the events that we would hold in our community.
Yeah.
So not, I mean, you know, people, publishers and investors and folks would come by.
Yeah.
But that was... You didn't count on.
They weren't the clients.
It wasn't really what it was for. It was really for playtesting.
Right.
What are you working on? And to network and hang out with other devs.
Yeah.
And I really liked it because it was just more my speed.
Yeah.
And so I always liked going to it. Even in 2019 when I wasn't trying to, I needed to, every meeting I had was to sell Witch's Hatchel. Right. I still went to the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you described this one, comparing this one to the previous ones, like this one was way more packed. Actually.
It was really much, it was the only time during the week I felt really uncomfortable in a room full of people because it was shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
In
a way that was unique to this GDC, right? You said that the previous ones were less packed.
It was very much less so. Yeah. Like everybody, you could set up your game on a big table with 8 seats, big round table, and mm-hmm. there was plenty of tables.
Yeah.
And there was usually like maybe 12 games tops around, and then devs would play each other's games and some people would funnel through, but it wasn't a big event.
Yeah.
But this one seemed to be the most successful one they ever had, mm-hmm. which was good for them, I guess. But then I didn't get to play anything because I didn't feel comfortable going in there. But we did find a way to make it really useful for us, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we did is I would go into the room and I would ask a random dev if they were interested in talking about their game with us. And so then we would like migrate to a side place and we
found another ballroom that was empty.
Yeah, we just kind of broke into it and
found, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then we would just interview them there. Actually, some of that content will also be in future episodes of the show.
Yeah, you'll hear about that soon enough. Mm-hmm. Some really, really good stuff.
Really good stuff. Actually, there was a dev there that had heard Nice Games Club, which is nice.
Yeah, we met a listener. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it was kind of weird too that it just like people had heard the show outside of our community.
Yeah.
Again, that's always like a little weird.
You know, it's kind of funny because we've been in the show for a long time. Mm-hmm. It's got good numbers. Like, it's not a surprise we have listeners.
Right.
Yeah. We go to a place that is entirely composed of our demographic.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to find some people.
Right.
But we started the show as a local community program.
Yes.
It was for our friends and our colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And we still, the show has grown way beyond that.
Yeah.
But we still have a little bit of that in our minds. And part of that is that we are still aghast when we meet people who are not from our city that have heard the program. So if that's you, drop us a line if you'd like to, you know, shock and surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, we met Red Zealot.
We did.
Red Zealot.
So that was cool.
Yeah, we ran into a couple of listeners. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday was great. You'll hear more about that upcoming.
Yeah, really good content.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night, the two award shows.
Yep.
Wednesday night.
That's right.
Both were notable for me because one had a game I worked on in it for award, and the other one hosted by our pal Osama.
Yeah.
Who I didn't go to these because I can't remember. I think I was really tired that day.
I think you had work
to
do. I did have work to do, but I don't know if I did it on Wednesday. I was just tired.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I heard that the tone of Osama's hosting was dad jokey.
Yes, he warned us in advance.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
And it didn't help.
Excellent. I will look up the recording of that and be very happy.
It was broadcast live on Twitch, and I'm sure it's available after the fact.
Yeah.
You should watch them. I mean, I don't know if I've said this a lot on the show, but like, ideologically, I don't like award shows.
Mm.
I don't think we should be competing in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for, a list of excellence in whatever, but I don't like them then they have to compete with each other. Like, they just don't like it. It
doesn't. The most excellent of the excellent.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. Industries do it to promote their
own
business.
Yeah.
And so there are reasons why it's fine. Like, I'm not gonna protest and say we should never have them.
Yeah.
But I ideologically, I generally don't care about them. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't take them seriously.
Number one playtester disagrees.
Right. The game we're trying, Close Hands, was nominated for Excellence in Narrative.
Cool.
And it's one of the things that is nice about the IGF Awards, the Independent Games Festival, it's a juried award. And so you submit a game, and then a random group of many judges plays it, and it moves through a system.
Yeah.
And so you can get dark horse candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with most award shows is that they are also popularity contests.
Right, yes.
And I think that we as an industry and the world and other industries, we've come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Like, we know it, it's fine. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the reasons why I don't take these things that seriously.
Yeah,
because good work gets done and doesn't get seen by who needs to see it.
Yes.
But a system like this allows for nominees that are dark horses, and I really, really like that. And of course, I personally benefited from that. Now the game I worked on was in one.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm biased.
Put that on your resume.
I didn't work on the narrative for Closed Hands, but I did do a lot of work bringing that narrative to life. And
right.
So I am truly proud, but it is not my category. But it was really cool because when the thing went on the screen in a room full of a bunch of industry people, some of my work was visible.
Yeah.
It's a big moment for people. I really hope a lot of people get those types of opportunities because it's very validating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who wins. and I had no, I wasn't like, maybe we will. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Inscription just sweeped.
Yeah.
And I haven't played that game, but everyone in the crowd was really excited. So it feels like it deserved it.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy for them because it feels like that they were the game that earned those awards.
Yeah.
And then, so that's the first award show. So the way it works is that it's an hour long show. And then after the hour, they say, now time for the next award show.
Yeah.
It's hosted by a separate person. And that is the Game Developers Choice Awards,
right?
Which is a totally separate system. That's where you see the AAA stuff.
Okay.
But Unpacking and Inscription both were represented in a bunch of categories.
That's good.
And Inscription won. The best of the best for both ceremonies, won the best game of the show.
Yeah.
So like I said, I don't really take these things seriously, but I like the fact of an indie game wins this award that's up against Halo and Forza Horizon, those types of games.
Right.
It just means it validates indie, you know. And so I like that a lot because Inscription was a very small team.
Yes.
But Osama hosted the award ceremony, and man, every award host will say things like, it's just not, remember everybody, it's an honor to be nominated, congratulate everybody and everyone out there who works in this field or whatever. But when Osama says it, man, you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
such a sweetheart.
He's such a sweetheart, and he was able to, he talked a lot about his sort of personal struggles being, Muslim in the 2000s.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Games for Impact Award and, like, the progress the industry's made is move, but not far enough.
Right.
And, you know, he's such a sweetheart, but he also is like, he also is, he can be serious.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and, you know, just a voice for all of us for these past couple of years of being in this industry in this pandemic was really interesting. And really just, you know, at the start of the show, we made a joke. We had an award made that's for anyone who works on games. Mm-hmm. And he awarded it to everyone.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm keeping it at my house, but...
It's for you.
Yeah, which was very cute. Yeah. And that's the spirit I really liked. And as an award show skeptic, and, you know, and the thing I worked on was that in that ceremony. So I feel pretty... I very much enjoyed the show because of his presence.
Yeah.
It's really good. So that was... But I was there all my lonesome. Which was a bummer, but everyone had different reasons to be somewhere else.
Well, you say you don't like award shows. I hate award shows. I mean, I had actually forgotten that Asaf was going to be at this thing.
So I had to rush back to the hotel and tell you what it was like.
Yeah.
It was really, because I've gone to these in the past and like, they're fine.
Yeah.
There are jokes and it's cool to see people.
Right.
It's like, oh, look, there's Tim Schafer, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But. Oh, actually, I'm glad I sort of half forgot about it because my night was almost ruined because when the Excellence in Narrative came up, I put my phone out because I wanted to. It occurred to me then that my work would be visible on a screen in a room full of industry people. So I didn't want to clip it from the thing on Twitch. I wanted to take a photo in the room of like the art that I made for that game being projected in there. I really wanted that moment.
Yeah.
And I took my phone, so I started recording a video because I didn't know how long it would be or if it would.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't miss the thing. So I hold my phone out just as they started announcing the nominees and throwing the thing up.
Yeah.
And some hall monitor CA, like who's like showing people their seats and stuff, came by and told me there's no filming in here. Oh. And that was the moment it came up. So the 3 seconds I was there for got ruined a little bit.
Aww.
And actually, I was in a sour mood until Osama showed up in the second half of the show. So thanks to him for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funny story. So I've got that.
That's true. What did I do on Wednesday? Oh, I met my coworkers on Wednesday. That's right. That was nice. And then, so what did we do on Thursday?
Well, I don't think there's anything special on Thursday or Friday, but we... we met and had dinner with our new booker Max.
Hi, Max. That was awesome.
Yeah,
Max is great.
Yeah, so we hired Max to help us book guests for the show.
Yes, and boy, does he have her cut out for him.
And he's great. Yeah. We're really happy with him.
Yeah,
but we just hired him. So and he's not from Minneapolis. And so he's doing he's a CA. So he's with a guy in the shirts to help people get in and out of talks and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a whole army of them in GDC.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's a cool program. It's kind of like summer camp for game devs.
And they're very helpful. Thank you all for doing it.
Yes. And it's not worth what they pay you in money or in free food.
They pay you,
but it's
they can get a free ticket.
Yeah,
I mean, okay.
It's a way working to see talks for it's a good way
most of the time.
Yeah, it's a good way to see the conference.
Right. Yeah.
There's a strong community around it.
Yes.
Cool.
Anyway, so Max was here for that reason, mm-hmm. and so we got to have dinner with him a couple times, and it was very nice.
Yeah. It was super nice.
Yeah. So if the next couple of interviews we have, you can thank Max for that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We gave him a lot of business cards.
Probably like the next dozen interviews we have. Yeah, there was a moment at dinner on Thursday night where Stephen just like, okay, here are the business cards. He like pulled on like a stack that was
big old stack. Yeah. And you know, actually, I do want to talk about, I don't think we talked about it much yet, but like we got to GDC as press this year, which I mean,
we mentioned it at the top of the show.
We
mentioned it, but it was a different experience.
Yeah,
it was really fun. Yeah, it was a different experience than, you know, coming, you know, paying for a pass or, you know, getting your company to pay for your pass or whatever else. We have like there's a whole press lounge and they have like muffins and bagels and tea and stuff. So it was like,
none of which you could eat.
None of which, I couldn't eat any of the food just because of my allergy.
Yeah.
But, we also got like, $75 voucher thing to get some food around.
Yeah, there are little like food kiosks. And mm-hmm. If you've ever been to a convention center for any reason, you see the little like kiosks. We got a little voucher that gave us a little bit of money on there. And it didn't go as far as you'd think because everything's super overpriced. But it was free for us. Mm-hmm. Speakers get them too.
Yes.
We were aware of it until we showed up.
Right.
Press lounge is nice. It has a couple of booths if you want to do interviews in there. We didn't end up doing any of that because it's kind of not our style, even though we do want to do audio recording.
Yeah.
It was quite nice. We actually first got a press badge in 2020. Right before the show was canceled.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, man, we were going to go for free this year. Mm-hmm. But we're still on the press list, so yeah. That was kind of nice. And it made the show a little different for us. And I think you were saying this, Stephen, that like it feels weird to introduce yourself as press.
Yes.
Because listeners know this is our second thing. We're right. Game devs first. Mm-hmm. And so...
By game devs, for game devs.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel much more legitimized as press as a result of this GDC.
Oh.
I think. Because, you know, like we're not as useful of an outlet to developers in terms of like promoting their games.
Yeah.
But I think we do get interesting content from those folks that has value.
Yeah.
And again, listeners, you'll hear way more of this in an upcoming episode. Yes. Than this is not, but
they have value to other game devs, not value to players.
Well, I mean, players like behind the scenes stuff. So I'm sure we do have some listeners.
Well, it did validate specifically our value to other game developers for me.
Yes.
In a way that like was interesting. Just because I mean Ellen, you especially know this because I think you have the most meetings out of all of us.
I met a lot of folks.
Yeah. But like
if it were a contest, Ellen would impress.
Yes.
Now it's a contest.
Wait, I want to win.
Too bad. Next year. It's an award show with multiple awards.
Yes. Sweet.
Here's the award for everyone who came to GDC. I'm going to keep it in my room. But it's for you.
Thanks. What was like validating about a lot of this was just because like game devs love talking about games and things that they worked on and like how they got to this point.
Yeah.
And so like you basically just like ask game devs these kinds of questions and they're really, you know, they're really up for it. And so like, I guess when I was coming here, I think I was trying to like convince myself that I wasn't just press. I was also a game dev.
Yeah.
But just due to the way that I asked, I think the kind of questions I asked and stuff, game devs could kind of just tell. When you were asking them questions, they'd be like, oh yeah, you also develop things. Or I would bring up, oh yeah, you know, I used Unity in this certain way too, and it wasn't great for me either or whatever. Right. And they would be like, yeah, you understand. So like...
Yeah, so, it feels like there's a place for us in this.
Yes.
It just feels less silly to say we're here as press.
Yeah, it does now.
It felt silly on Monday.
It did.
It doesn't feel silly anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it still feels a little silly.
I mean, we are silly by nature. But
that's true. Yeah.
Okay. So now that we're all over our imposter syndrome forever.
right, of course.
Yeah, I've totally conquered it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we wrap up, let's tease a little bit of what's coming in an upcoming episode of all the interviews we've grabbed.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that without saying, maybe I should say the names of the games. I'm going to say the names of the games.
I played a cat themed game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dale did play a cat themed game. Yeah. I was there for that.
Yeah, because a lot of press, these meetings happen off site. Mm-hmm. Dale Daly needed a pass to go to them. So.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's true. Like almost all the meetings I had happened like in the hotels that are in the area.
Yeah.
Which was weird, but fine.
Yeah.
That's probably why I eat so much, because I walk so much.
Yeah.
I played a couple musically oriented games where the mechanics are really musical.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I also played Strange Horticulture, which is about plants.
Yeah.
Plant Shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the IGF nominees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got an interview or two from the IGF, some of the people who, the IGF nominees, which was cool.
Yeah, and we got a line to them now, the business cards we've given to Max, and so we're going to see if we can get a couple of them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about their work.
Mm-hmm. Midnight Protocol is another one.
Yeah.
I was an elite hacker.
Yes. Oh, that was a fun one.
I'm really disappointed I missed that one, but I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, for sure.
Seems up my alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean I had some meetings lined up, but a few of mine didn't show up. Or at least if they did show up, I had no way to find them. Like it was very difficult. That was something that was quite frustrating in the start.
Yeah.
Like you wish you had a shirt that said Nice Games Club on the back of it.
Don't call me out like that, Dale. Why do you do that?
I mean, like, the problem is, even if you had such a shirt, it would be covered by a sweater.
Well, yeah, because it was kind of chilly.
So you're saying we need sweaters.
Yes.
Okay. We'll get on that, I guess.
Well, as first-time in-person press,
yes.
Like, there are some of the things we didn't know.
Yeah, there are things we didn't know.
Sure, if they meet at this hotel, like, do they rent a space? Is it up in their hotel room? Is it going to be in the lobby? Like, we just don't know. Like, you know, we learned a lot.
Yeah, and admittedly, I mean, because I wasn't privy to that kind of stuff, I might have made it more difficult on myself than I needed to.
But you did get ghosted.
But I did get ghosted. Too, yeah. And that never feels
good. I'm not sure if it was ghosting. Some of it was ghosting. Like, I definitely had one of the develop
there was a one group I was supposed to meet with, or I met with them, mm-hmm. but I was supposed to meet with the marketer and the developer, but the developer stayed up too late. And she slept through her alarm. And I was like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
It was fun. Really fun game. Excited to talk about that one, too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, the being first time, not just first time press, but first time GDC, definitely led me to put my foot in my mouth a couple times. Like, and I was like, it's my first GDC. Is it your first GDC? And this guy, who's so gracious, he runs a PR firm. He's like, it's my 13th GDC. So just like, yeah, okay. I'm going to sit over here now until I need to restart.
Yeah.
But he gave me a bubbly water.
Oh, nice. Aww.
Instead. So
yeah.
I got the taste of foot out of my mouth.
Yeah, you know, it seems like people are exhausted at GDC, but there's something, it's just weird, there's two halves of it, right? Everyone's a little nervous because of COVID.
Yeah.
But also everyone's really excited to be doing this again.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You know? And so you end up at somewhere along that spectrum just driven by both those forces.
Yeah. Yeah. Of,
the whole thing was weird as always, but in a different way this time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to recharging my batteries for myself, my personal body.
Yeah.
And then coming again next year.
Yeah. Well, we have a couple more days in San Francisco, so we are all going to relax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vacation starts now.
Yes.
Woo!
That's our show. For show notes and links on today's topic, go to our website, nicegames.club. Visit us on Twitter, at nicegamesclub, where Dale here...
Hello.
...tweets about game dev resources and what a game dev looks like. We like hearing from you, so tweet back or email us, contact@nicegames.club. We're on Patreon, too. Support the show and get stuff. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Steven, you were saying, if anything ends up on the cutting room floor, maybe it'll end up there.
Yeah,
stay tuned for that.
Look forward to it.
And if you want to keep things casual, you can just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello.
And say hello to Fredzilla.
Yes, Fredzilla.
If we met you here at the show, please drop by the Discord and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
We met a bunch of fun, cool people
on
this trip, and sure I think it would be great to keep up with them. So that's a good way to get in touch. Next week, we'll be looking at something we're not sure yet. But that's it for this week. So until we start again, remember to...
play nice.
And make nice.
So here's a test of me talking, and Dale is going to talk next.
Dale talks a lot.
And then Ellen's going to say something from where she's sitting.
I'm back over here by my chair.
And then lastly, Steven's going to bring the house down.
Woo!
No, like...
other words. I don't know.
Your waveform is very much bigger than ours.
Yeah, I know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.